There have been messages given here concerning the heart. Dale Yates gave one about harden not your heart. Mr. Orris gave one about a willing heart. Last Sabbath, Mr. Wimp talked about the greatness of our God, who designed the great master planner who put us together the way that we are, and the great plan of mankind that he has set up and established, him and his son. The title of my sermon today is The Soundness of Heart and Mind. Because there's that connection. And Mr. Sisson, I appreciate your sermonette because you talked about the armor of God, speaking about the protection of our heart, spiritual, protection of our mind, spiritual, and the connection that is made there. Sometimes I think we get so busy in our life that one doesn't really stay in tune with the other. Especially in our prayers, you may find yourself kneeling before God in prayers, but all of a sudden your mind tends to drift. Your heart there, but your mind may not be, or your mind may be there and your heart's really not in it. Especially when people are asking for prayers for themselves. I have found that instead of just rushing right to it, which is good, we should go to God and actually ask God to forgive us of our sins so that we have that clear connection between us and our Father, and not having something on our mind as we're praying for someone and saying, ooh, here's that distraction again of something that's existing that I haven't really cleared with God to be forgiven of. So there is that connection. The word soundness has a meaning of upright, honorable, integrity, connection between our heart and mind from the spiritual aspects of life. God's Holy Spirit that He has given us with that connection, bringing the two together as one through God's Holy Spirit. Well, the word integrity, because with all that's going on around us today, and I'll be reading from an article out of the Wall Street Journal shortly. Integrity, uncompromising, adherence to moral and ethical principle, the soundness of moral character, or for short, honesty. Well, in today's Wall Street Journal, there was an article talking about the West Point scandal. I'm sure most of you know West Point, where they train people to become officers in the military. Those that we would think would be the top notch of the country to serve and protect this nation. But this article talks about scandals, cheating and test. Well, the article stated that in the old days, if you were found cheating, you hit the road. You were out. Well, now that has changed. Of course, they blame it on COVID-19 because of a lot of the changes and not being able to be there in person. So you're doing it online. Well, it's not just the military that there's probably been cheating based on people working from either schooling or work or whatever from home. Are they really putting what's required of them into their job? And it talks about not only West Point, but it talks about the U.S. Force Academy, U.S. Air Force Academy. It talks about the U.S. Naval Academy. And you read this, and you think about God's words, what's coming ahead of us. That blessing that God gave Abraham that's passed down through Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And then you read this, where they basically turn a blind eye to this cheating, in the military. So what do you think these people are going to be like once they're commissioned and in service? And to me, it leaves a lot to be thought about. But it's just not this area. Just the way the world is, the way the world looks at using hot topics to get their way, to get their own way. Discrimination is a big word, especially racial discrimination. No matter what may be occurring, they use that hot topic, people tend to jump on the bandwagon to help, to get their way. So they're not necessarily looking at the facts in life anymore in today's world. They're not looking for accountability, truth. They're not looking for transparency. A lot of people in the world are not looking at that today. And it appears that today's laws are turning into the laws of sin. Laws that are against God's way. There appears to be more of a soundness of immoral character and dishonesty in this world. Not just in the United States, but around the world. We see that all around us. Let's turn to the Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. We need to grow in that connection through God's Holy Spirit of our mind and heart. Stay focused, to build, to be prepared for what's ahead of us, what's coming. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So here we see God putting his laws in our mind, opening our mind to his laws, his commandments, to people's minds, and putting them in, writing them in their hearts. So they're there. There's that connection. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, again, it says, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. This time he says, I will put my laws into their hearts. In their minds will I write them. So we see the importance of maintaining that focus, of that purity, of keeping God's way in our mind and our heart together. As we have been told, there are many examples of people called by God, written throughout his Holy Scripture, recorded for us in the Bible that show their soundness of heart and mind. Many examples. You may have favorite characters in the book, the Bible, that you relate to or you like based on their story of what they've accomplished through God's mercy, God's power. But of course, we know that they did not do all those things on their own. We are nothing on our own. They were called by God. They relied on God for their success and protection and for doing God's will. Just as we today, we are called by the same God, a different God, same God, our Father, to join him as part of his loving family. And again, that's where our heart and mind need to be focused, to really deeply see how that is so important to God. Family. Why he created man. He wants a family. We desperately need to want to be part of his family. Each one of us being an active member of the body, become a part of the foundation with Christ. Christ being the chief cornerstone. In the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, starting in verse 23. We'll read verses 23 through 25. That you put off verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, if only the world would listen to that, if they would put away lying, that would be a wonderful feat for this world. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We are members one of another here. God's church. Eventually the world will know God's truth, will be shown God's truth. They will have that opportunity as well. Now, whether shown by their Christian attitude, the examples in the book, God's word, whether shown by their Christian attitude, their undying faith in God, or their trust in God to persevere in life, constantly looking to God for this accomplishment. We also have examples in God's Word of those who just would not listen and live God's way. There are those. As the Bible described it, man did that which was right in his own eyes. We see that in today's world. The days of Noah, which are mentioned in Matthew 24, if you would turn to Matthew 24 with me, starting in verse 37 through 39. Christ speaking here says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They knew not, or they did not recognize until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, we read that Christ talking here in Matthew, but let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. In the time of Noah. Let's see how it's described there. In Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 5. This is during the time of Noah. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is evil continually. Compare that to today's world. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I had made them. Let's jump to verse 9. Talking about, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So there was one individual, as described here, who, of course, with his family, who were saved, that being Noah, who walked with God. Verse 11, continuing, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Are there examples in today's world where we see corruption, we see violence, we see things that are described in today's world that compares back to Noah's time? The evilness in this world. What have we been foretold in God's word about the future tribulation that's coming ahead of us? And how we are to be prepared and stay close to God, praying that we are worthy to escape all these things. Again, focusing on keeping through God's Holy Spirit our mind and heart, spiritual mind and heart, in focus, entwined, together, really bearing down on what God wants us to do. Noah preached to the people in his time. They did not listen. They were destroyed. United Church of God is preaching through the beyond today what is going on in the world, comparing to Scripture, what is coming to today's world for those that will listen. People have a choice to listen or not listen. We need to keep our emotions and our attitudes in check following God's way. We cannot allow the distractions of this world to pull us away from God's calling. In the book of Malachi, chapter 4, starting in verse 1 of Malachi, chapter 4. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that comes shall burn them up. Says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That's what's ahead for those that just will not listen, that will not obey God. Those that continue to be distracted, no matter what is occurring around them, they're going to do their own thing, stay corrupt. So it tells us in verse 4, Malachi 4, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him. The law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Speaking about, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. We know this. That time is coming. Are we going to be prepared? The heart allows people to see who you really are. You cannot hide that. You may try. You try to be a good actor of hiding things, but people will really see how you are based on your heart and mind. Good or bad, because what we speak comes from our heart. We can build up or we can tear down by those words that we speak. Even what we think can affect us. In Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 34, here Christ is speaking, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, Well, we need to be paying attention to what he's saying here. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Well, again, that's where we need to keep the focus on our heart and mind. To be uplifting with our words, be joyful, be compassionate, be loving to one another and to those around us. We keep hearing these words. They're right here. We read them. We need to practice them more and more and more, where it's a very part of our being. Because we are called to be leaders of faith, kings and priests in the kingdom of God. That's why each day is so important, that we're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Staying close to God the Father in our prayers, in our study, our meditation, in our fasting. Building, making that permanent connection through God's Holy Spirit with our mind and heart. I'll make reference to Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, talking about the Beatitudes. You can read that later. Of how they show us God's way in preparing our heart and mind. And of course, the latter verses giving a view of what has or will be occurring to God's people if we listen to God and follow His word. Let's turn to, if you're still in the book of Matthew, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Go to verse 20. Matthew 6, starting in verse 20. Again, Christ speaking. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In that constant contact with our Father in heaven, and it's our elder brother, Jesus Christ. But staying focused, staying connected, building those treasures in heaven of all that awaits us. Another example would be Samuel, as he was getting older. You know the story of Samuel as he was getting older. And the people came to him asking for a king to be placed over them. Well, in this story, you see, in the storyline, you see how Samuel's heart and mind were always on doing the Lord's work. He was focused. He was set. That was his life. He took this request from the people very hard and personally. But God instructed him to do as the people asked, since they weren't rejecting Samuel, they were rejecting God. What parts of our life have we had people cause thoughts like that? They were rejecting us, or they were excluding us. How did we feel? Did it cause issues, anxiety, pain, heartbreak, bad thoughts? We can see possibly what Samuel was going through. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 7, a little bit of the storyline here. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah. So you see who it was, the elders of Israel. It wasn't the guy milking the cow or the guy picking up trash. It was the elders of Israel coming to Samuel. stating to him, "Behold, you're old." Yeah, that's a great way to start a conversation. "Well, you're old." Well, okay, you just stated the obvious. But I'm Samuel, I'm God's servant. No, they didn't say that. They said, "You're old, and your sons walk not in your ways." Well, he did recognize Samuel being appointed by God, but his sons were not walking his way. And they were already wanting a king. "Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." They didn't come there to have a conference. "Well, what do you think we should do? You're old. Your sons are bad. What do you think we should do?" No, they already had their minds made up. And we see where it displeased Samuel. And they asked, "Give us a king to judge us." What did Samuel do? His heart and mind was focused. He prayed unto the Lord. In verse 7 is where you see God, the Lord, telling Samuel to hearken to their voice. Do what they request. Well, we need to continue to know that God is our Father. He has called us for a purpose. Not to ask for any other God for our life. No, there's only one God. He's our Father. His purpose is our purpose. Our life is dedicated to Him. But the people of Israel, they were always consistently, unfortunately, they were consistently rejecting God's way. Up some years, down a lot of years. Up one year, down a lot. Eventually being displaced. Turn to Matthew chapter 9, please. We see in Christ's time, there were those rejecting Christ. Even after all the miracles, of all the words, of what they were witnessing around them. Matthew 9, starting in verse 3. Verse 3. Talks about, "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. Because in the previous verses, God healed an individual, saying, Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. They say he's blaspheming. But in verse 4, it says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, the very Son of God, so he asked them, Why? Why think you evil in your hearts? Why? Just as we today should be very cognizant of our thoughts, our mind and our hearts. Why do we think evil? Why do we? We're human. We make mistakes. But what do we have? We have that opportunity each day to go to God the Father, seek forgiveness, and hopefully building that consistency within ourselves, on our heart and mind, through God's Holy Spirit, of trying not to do that sin again. But always remembering to go to God each day, seeking forgiveness. Seeking his words. God knows our thoughts. We can't hide anything from God. It shows right here, Christ knew their thoughts. Also in Matthew 12, just a few pages over, Matthew 12, verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, again, Christ had just done a miracle. This fellow cast out by demons or devils, or he does This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. That was his power, he said. This is how Christ is doing this. Again, in verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts. He said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. You can read the rest of that. But then you look at today's world, our nation, how we're divided. It says right here, Christ says, if they're divided, they shall not stand. How long does this country have? How long are the blessings to stand before we disappear? We do not stand any longer. God knows the heart. Read that in Acts 15. This is a continual process. This is our life. Acts 15, verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. The matter being, in the previous verses, you can read that later. Verse 7. When there had been much disputing or debate, here we see them debating, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the hearts, again, God knows our heart. He made us. God knows the hearts, bears them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. God gives his Holy Spirit to those who are willing to accept his way. Verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Again, that purity of God working through us, through his Holy Spirit. Now, Samuel had a learning opportunity. God told him to do what the people asked. Samuel, part of that learning, he was looking at an outward appearance. First it was with Saul, and then it was with Jesse's sons. But God looked at the heart and told Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance, but look at the heart. You can make reference to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. I won't go there, but just make reference. God's talking about how he looks at the heart. Well, I'm sure Jesse's sons had a learning opportunity as well, being older brothers. And then the youngest, David, is the one who's anointed, who was chosen by God in his youth to be the future king of Israel. Some people like the story of David as it progresses through the Bible, with how the confidence that David showed when he went up against Goliath. You know the story. How David was belittled, made fun of by Goliath. Did he take it personally? Doesn't really say he did, because he knew he was there doing God's will, God's work. God was with him. And some people say it was water off a duck's back. Let it go. Don't just be distracted by those comments. So what type of Goliath do we face in our lives today? How do we face them? Do we just clench our fist and explode? We allow it to really get us in a place that we don't need to be. So easy. Satan knows the little knobs to twist and turn. Oh, I've got you now. Let me turn that volume up just a little bit. Yeah, there you are. That's where I want you. No. But stay close to God. That's why we need to focus with our mind, our heart, through God's Spirit. Knowing there are distractions, knowing that the areas that we're weak in, areas that we need to continue to grow. So in David's story, he was rightfully giving victory to God. He knew, no second guessing, how the outcome was going to be with that confrontation. Do we know the outcome of some of our confrontations, of our life? Do we second-guess decisions that we've made in life? Why did we second-guess it? Well, number one, we probably did not go to God to seek His advice, His input. It might have been a knee-jerk reaction, something that we regretted later. And we found ourselves doubting. Those doubts have caused us to not spend time with God on a daily aspect. As I said before, seeking God's advice. Psalm chapter 78. Just a couple of verses here where it talks about integrity. David had. Good example. Psalm 78, verse 72. It's talking about David, verse 72. So he, David, fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He was right with God. God placed him over this nation. He was a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 7, verses 8 through 10. Another aspect of David here. Psalm 7, starting in verse 8. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tries the hearts and the reins. High defenses of God, which saves the upright in heart. This is Mr. Sisson talked about the armor of God, that defense, the breastplate, the helmet, the shield, the sword, all from God. Are we utilizing that? God being our defense. Remember how Christ said, by faith, if you would turn to Mark 11, Christ talking about faith. Let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11, starting in verse 22. I'm going to read through verse 26. Again, Christ speaking. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be ye removed and be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you will receive them. You shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. Big word, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, they forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Well, again, how strongly do we believe in our heart and mind? We go to our Father in prayer. Do we have a forgiving heart? We need to be in that place with a forgiving heart and mind. Or are we continuing to hold grudges? Things that are just eating away at us, but we're just not focusing on that. It's just something that's been there that just stays there, like a thorn in your side or a splinter. It needs to be removed. And in David's life, Goliath was that mountain of a man that was going to be brought down. You could see David's frame of mind in that storyline throughout his story. He knew he would be victorious with God's protection. Again, David had his heart and his mind in the right place, just as we should each day. His soundness was rock solid. There was no hesitation, no misgivings, no doubting on David's part. So ask yourself, how far are we willing to go? This calling that God has given us, this life. Are we continuing to be hesitant? Are we seeing that in our life? Are we having misgivings or doubts about our calling? Are there sins that we've already been forgiven of that have been creeping up that we keep pondering about that we really shouldn't be? To forgive it. Let them go. Do we feel times are just too tough for us? No matter what age you are, you really feel like there's this heavy weight. Life is just too tough. Even more so for us to go to God. We're feeling that way. He will give us that comfort. In Psalms 94, Psalms 94, verse 11. Reemphasizing our thoughts, thoughts of man. Psalms 94, verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, but they are vanity. They are. God says they are. But blessed is the man who thou chastens, O Lord, and teaches him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. Here we see, by going to God, we will get rest from the days of our adversity. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Very uplifting words there that we need to continue to go to God. In Psalm 139, verse 23, again, if there are things within us that we're not recognizing, go to this verse, Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. Those words may sound old-fashioned, but they apply today. They're very purposeful for us today. We really ask God to search us to know our hearts, to try us to know our thoughts, and to let us know the answers to all that. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9, verse 10. A lot of you may have this memorized. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. God is willing to give us that wisdom and understanding for the heart and mind. We just need to ask Him for it. We need to go to Him for that. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Again, talking about the wisdom and understanding. Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with you, course, receiving them, keeping them close, keeping them intertwined within us, heart and mind. Verse 2, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And if you criest after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, going to God, asking for all these things that He's willing to give us, to open to us. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt you understand the reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Comes out of His mouth. We need to have ears that are inclined to listen to God of what He's telling us. Eyes to see what He's showing us. Verse 7, He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. That soundness, the wisdom, which should be feeding our hearts and our minds, for building even stronger for God. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of His saints. Verse 9, then shalt you understand righteousness and judgment and equity. All this understanding that He's willing to open to us, to give us, to continue to feed us. Yes, every good path. Verse 10, when wisdom enters into your heart, constantly seeking wisdom from God, when it enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. And that's what we seek, that joy in God, the knowing His way. God is not the author of distressing spirits. That's Satan. Satan is the author of distressing spirits. Hopefully we aren't caught up in a struggle comparing ourselves to others. We know that offenses are going to occur. They're occurring every day. But we need to have that godly attitude, that character that God wants us to have, to deal with it correctly. Stop and think. Don't just react instantly. Stop and think. As life goes on, learn to live with it. Again, it's water off a duck's back. Sometimes just let it go. And to forgive others. Because who's causing the trespass may not recognize they're doing that. It's just their habit of making a quick comment or opinion or whatever it may be. Again, stop and think. But we are called to be kings and priests, as already mentioned, in the coming kingdom of God. For our heart, our mind, needs to be receptive and willing to act and obey God's love and His commandments, His wisdom, His understanding. Just like the Bereans in Acts 17, verses 10 through 11, don't turn there, just making reference to the Bereans, where they had a readiness of mind to prove all things. Not take it at face value. Just because someone said it, it's got to be true. On the internet, it's got to be true. No. Prove all things. God is choosing a people. He gives us a challenge. Or you could say we're tested in life because He's looking at our heart. How are we responding to these tests? You can call it your attitude, you can call it the faith, you can call it your commitment. But God wants us to be a wholehearted person, a loving, caring son and daughter of God. Real example to those around us. Godly attitude can make you a winner against all odds. And we must stay close to God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And it's just like working out. We need to work out with our mind and our heart with God's word, His truth, His everything about Him, His holy days, plan of salvation, all that we've learned, Bible study information that we receive weekly, all of that data coming from God for us to learn, to grow. Godly attitude can make you a winner against all odds. You must stay close to God. So in Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all these examples that we see and read about, and even those that aren't really named by name, but they're there, the saints of God, those, the disciples, all cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. What is that in our life that may easily beset us? It's just constantly there that we're working against. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Christ's example of all that He went through, He took it. He took. And He took. All of that. For us, we should be able to take what comes at us as Christ's example. We need to be building and growing, keeping our mind on the big picture that God has set before us, to keep our heart and mind pure with the words of truth and love. Let them be ingrained deep down within us. So we're always praying for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth. You know, these examples that we talked about in Noah's time, Samuel, we talked about David. But David's example of a right attitude, giving God all the glory. We should be giving God all the glory, looking at what He has given us. We're not to be afraid. Not to fear what man can do to us. We're to fear the righteous, holy reverence and love to our Father, His Son, our elder brother, Jesus Christ. So to have the soundness of heart and mind, let's do the following. First off, let God lead you. Stay close to God. Stay close to His leadership. Don't forget God's promises. God cannot lie. His promises are real. They will come true. Let's have unity among each and every one of us, our brethren, here and around the world, our support for one another. Continue to read God's Word and see all of these examples, all of our examples. It's so wonderful to see the write-ups of getting to know our brethren, little snippets of their life. All these years, you get to read little gems that are there. So is our heart and mind right before the Lord so that He can work mightily through us? Let's not wait. Let's not wait to find out later on when we could be working on this day by day. Because every day we need to rehearse to ourselves. We need to be asking ourselves, what have I accomplished today? Very serious question. You either ask it in the morning, during the day, at the end of the day. What have I accomplished, or what will I accomplish today that God would be pleased with? Think about it. Soundness of heart and mind. Definitely an area that we need to work on. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.